The word of God that I would share with you for our meditation today is from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 10, verses 32 to 34. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was leading them. The disciples were amazed, and the others who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was going to happen to him. "Look, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the experts in the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." So far the word. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, so picture the scene that Mark describes here. Jesus, his disciples, the 12, and others who followed him had spent several weeks in the region called Perea. That's east of the Jordan River, just opposite of Judea, kind of opposite of Jericho. The band has been journeying along the road, and lots of things have been said and done that we won't go into, but have impressed the disciples mightily. They are just amazed. They've left the mark on the disciples in their view of Jesus. And keep in mind also that three of these guys had seen Jesus transfigured on that mountaintop, something they weren't supposed to talk to, but it had to have inhabited every glance between those three. Mark, with a flair for the dramatic, points out that as they're journeying, Jesus is a few steps ahead. He's out there by himself leading the band, and he is just purposefully forging ahead to where they're going. Jesus is unwavering in his patient but steady stride down into the Jordan Valley and back out and up that long uphill grade to Jerusalem. In the same vein, Mark notes that they, the disciples, were, quote, amazed. One word book suggests stupefied as the general idea. In the same way, the entire following at that point is described as afraid. Mark always kind of frustrated me at this point because he doesn't directly connect that emotional disturbance that's being felt with any specific information about why. There is no helpful because clause that would explain this stupefaction. So we depend on context, and fortunately, that's pretty clear in this section. Jesus is set on going to Jerusalem despite all of the bad things he said was going to happen to him, were going to happen to him. So perhaps that explains their amazement, right? And maybe the disciples just and the followers are just flat out afraid for themselves. And yet, well, when you think about it, there were dozens of reasonable arguments for them that they would be smart to leave Jesus now, right now at this point. Go back, cut their losses, and go back to their old lives, you know, fishing for fish, tax collecting, whatever that Iscariot guy did. But they kept following Jesus. Uphill, all the way to Jerusalem. Tomorrow is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. Probably most of us here will be attending midweek Lenten services, which feature the reading of the Passion history the immediate events and steps leading up to Jesus' betrayal, trial, and crucifixion, all assembled from the four Gospels. This is a story that I have heard or read in church more than 60 times, not to mention followed in my own personal Bible study, as I'm sure you have as well. But after a long day in the classroom or at work, in the evening hours, the darkness settling down around the church windows, the reading of it, while it is good and meaningful, may not be all that riveting. We know how this thing goes. We know these various events, the meal and all that, along the way. And we do know, thank God, how it ends. But despite all that, it is a routine when we're tired. It's a regular feature of this season's worship. And I must admit, my mind has at times wandered while they're reading it. What if we could hear this passion history over and over, but always for the first time? Like we've never heard it before. Like we don't exactly know how it's all going to pan out. Wouldn't that be interesting? Can we go up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way just as those disciples did? Amazed at every step? Filled with a sense of holy fear? Maybe it's not as hard as we think. Not if we follow Jesus just as those not-so-saintly disciples did in their own unholy skin. There they were in the presence of the Holy One of God, whom angels adore and devils fear, but they followed Jesus still with all that old baggage, right? Their frail egos, their vacillating spirits, their narcissistic selfishness. This was one very flawed bunch of saints. But they were saints in the presence of Jesus. He was their virtue. He was their righteousness through their faith in him. So how should we follow Jesus up to Jerusalem? Well, in our own skin, being absolutely honest, mindful, and repentant as we watch these proceedings and follow in these steps. We follow him despite our frail egos. We follow him with our slothfulness, dragging feet whenever asked to do what it is our task to do at the time. We follow with our self-centeredness and sin, struggling with those same private sins that we never quite overcome, laboring under those public faults that bring us shame in the eyes of others. There we are. None of these things we can defend. None of these things can be whitewashed or excused, especially in the presence of that holy, obedient, forthright Jesus. How is it that he can even want us around? But he does. He has called us. He's called us through our baptism. He calls us through the Word. And we follow him. We do because we know him. We know enough already to draw us forward on that pathway. For he is, as we know, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that means he has taken a world of sin away from us. May we follow Jesus. Follow him as sinners who know that in him, only in him, only in whatever is about to happen at the end of that road on top of that hill on that cross is the best thing that could ever happen for us. For there we will find the peace that surpasses all human understanding. We find forgiveness, salvation, and life everlasting. How amazing then to see, as if for the first time, all of these events, the course of this time, how this journey is going to turn out. Amen. We will continue by singing out of the worship supplement, hymn 760, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Thank you.